Hello, lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast. Once again, for financial month, September, we are back here for a very special episode, and I am with John Butcher, of course. What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Great to be here. How are you doing?
Doing very well. It's financial month. I like this cut and dry month. Well, it's not cut and dry. I shouldn't say that. I should be more careful with my words. But I do feel it's a little bit more of a straightforward category. It's definitely a category that you excel in. And today's topic is really, really exciting, man, because we're going to dive into a little bit of category interconnectivity, Diving into the character traits and attributes of financially successful individuals. Very interesting topic, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. And let me tell you something. It's important. This category is super important for me, for the Lifebook community, because your financial abundance controls to a certain extent your overall quality of life, or at least it contributes to it. It doesn't need to control it, but it contributes to it. And my greatest wish for every single member of this community is they have the freedom to express themselves fully. And financial abundance is one of the things that gives you that freedom. So every single year when we come to September, Jordan, I just feel like I want to roll up my sleeves and just create as much value as I possibly can for the members of this community in this incredibly important category.
Well, we love hearing your advice, your input, and honestly, your stories, your specific encounters and examples and experiences. I think people really, really like to hear about that here on the Member Podcast. So we're going to get into that today, along with digging into this overall arching theme.
Absolutely.
So where do you want to begin? I know you were doing some research on this idea of the most common or the most, the ones you see the most out there in these successful, dynamic financial gurus.
Yeah. You know, here's what I did. So I sat down and I took a little bit of time and I said, you know, I've been a millionaire since I was 27, more than half my life. And like I've known hundreds of millionaires because of the networks that I've been in and the companies that I've started. And I've been around really successful people for almost all my adult life. And so I said, I'm going to just get in a meditative state and I'm just going to think about the last few decades. And I'm going to list the character traits or attributes that I have found most common in my life experience. And Jordan, as you know, I've interviewed dozens of millionaires. So I've kind of gone deep on this. And so I listed, you know, 8 or 9 traits that I've seen across the board in most of the financially successful people that I know. And then I got a little bit curious and I decided to jump online because, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of lists of you know, the 10 millionaire habits or the character traits of self-made millionaires or whatever.
Yeah, blogs and stuff like
so
that.
So I wanted to see if my list would be consistent with the lists out there. And what I found was, and I welcome Lifebook members to check this out for themselves. These lists, these top 10 lists, most of them have almost nothing in common. Like you see a couple character traits that you see in common in most of them, but really most of these lists are very unique from each other. So, and that was surprising to me.
Right.
What I learned is that nobody's really dialed this in at a super high level. I think that we all have our unique point of view from our unique experience. That's what I want to share today. There's a few on my list that are common. There's a few that are very uncommon, and I'm super excited to start.
Well, like you said, I think that there's so many. There's so many adjectives. There's so many attributes out there. But if you really distill them down, I bet they pour into each other. So why don't we just dive right in with some of the examples?
Yeah. Now, as I go down this list, Lifebookers, ask yourself, how many of these traits do I have? What is interesting is I'll bet you have a lot of them because so many of them tie back to personal development. And that's what this community is. It's a personal development community.
Right.
So I'm going to guess that most Lifebook members have most of these traits. Let's see if I'm right. Okay. So as I look back on my 35-year business career, these are some of the top traits that I've seen in most of these super financially successful people that I've known. The first one is, they're all optimists. Three millionaires that I have ever met that I would characterize as pessimists, Jordan.
Three.
No joke, man. Successful people are hardly ever pessimists, nor do they want to be around pessimists.
Wow.
You know, Winston Churchill had a quote. He said, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." Now you tell me which one of those people is going to make the most money.
Oh man. I love that. Yeah. 100%.
Now, and I will tell you, of the three that I would characterize as pessimists that I can think of in my life, one of them did not make his money himself. And one of them I know was like some kind of a hedge fund manager or one of those mathematical people with a calculator that shorted companies and didn't really produce any value to put out there. So that's the first trait, is that it really helps to have a positive outlook on life and to be, positive, optimistic instead of negative and pessimistic.
That one does not surprise me, but it is definitely profound.
Yeah. And while I haven't seen that on any lists, that was a unique one. Second one is, all the self-made millionaires I know love what they do. And I actually read a study that showed that 80% of these study subjects, which was, really wealthy people, reported that they enjoyed what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And 60% said that it's actually their dream career, that's the level of passion that they have for it.
Whoa.
And in the career video, this is one of the things that we say, you choose work that you love is like the first thing. And that really backs it up. I've really seen that in my experience.
Yeah, that does make sense. And maybe playing into that ikigai, which we've talked about that before, the kind of more holistic, overarching sense of loving my job, where a lot of different things, again, pour into that, a lot of different specific character traits and attributes and facets that you could say pour into that overall job satisfaction. Very interesting.
And of course, you're going to be more successful because, there's that saying that if you love what you do, you don't really have to work a day in your life. It's 100%. It's just what you do. So you're going to put more time in happily. And so that one just really makes sense. And that's one that you see every once in a while. It's not real popular, but you do see it on these lists sometimes.
Interesting.
The third one is super common. Hard work and persistence.
Right.
Like that should be on every list for sure. And then those are two separate things that are very connected. As a matter of fact, they're the 1-2 punch that's the real winning combination. I don't know a single self-made millionaire that's lazy. Not one that I could think of as I was thinking about this. They all work hard. They're driven. And they're also persistent. And what that means is you don't just work hard. You keep going when it gets tough. You keep those legs moving when you have hardly anything left. Because, I'll tell you, you can get 95 yards down the field and you're still not into the end zone. It's that last 5 yards that are sometimes so difficult. And you don't want to give up before you get that ball across the finish line, no?
You're so right. You're absolutely right. And, I want to make a really important distinction here, because you're absolutely right. You're going to need that persistence, because at times things will get tough. Like, you're guaranteed to have some tough times. But as far as the hard work and persistence, definitely there, definitely true. But the successful people that I know and what I try to employ in my life, it doesn't have to be difficult. Hard work and persistence doesn't have to necessarily, what's more difficult sometimes? Avoiding hard work your entire life. You know what I'm saying?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like there's totally. A level of, I'm really trying to articulate this well for the listeners. There's a level of kind of autopilot that you get into when you kind of submit yourself to hard work and persistence and knowing exactly. There's going to be hard times and knowing you can get through them. What's much more difficult than that is avoiding all of those things your entire life and never really confronting those issues, never building your financial castle, never, you know what I'm saying? Like that's really the real danger. Yeah, exactly. That's the real danger here. It's the hard work ain't the difficult part is what I'd like to chime in there.
Well, you make a really, really good point that hard work doesn't need to mean nose to the grindstone. Your life is gray. You've
exactly.
got no color.
You slog.
No. All it means is you're driven. You friggin' care. You want to put in the time. You're willing to exert a lot of effort because this means so much to you. And you're not going to give up no matter how hard it gets. Jordan, we almost gave up on Lifebook a couple times because it's like, it was a very, very difficult business to get up and running, especially when it was an expensive seminar. And we almost were like, people don't really care about this. Why should we? We think that it could really help a lot of people, but it's not going the way we thought it was going to go. And if people aren't going to care about this, why should we continue? that those thoughts crossed our minds occasionally, but we kept going. With Purity Coffee, which Life Bookers, I'm happy to announce that Inc. magazine just announced their top 500 fastest growing companies in the United States over the last 4 years. And Purity Coffee's in the top 200. So proud of that.
Oh my God.
Me and my partner, Andrew, who's a Life Booker, we're number 193. We're the 193rd fastest growing company in the United States.
Love it.
Based on a 4 year look back. And we almost gave up three times on that business.
Jeez.
Andrew almost gave up when he'd worked so hard and things weren't going well. Miss and I had to step in and take the control for a little while. Then we got into the same situation, had to step back. Dude, business is hard.
Yeah.
And that's what most people don't ever hear that, but yeah. Business is hard. The thing about business is it's like a chain. And if one link in the chain is broken, your product development, your marketing, your, you know, whatever it is, your customer acquisition costs, if one link of the chain is broken, the chain is broken.
100%.
One thing can go wrong and the whole thing goes down the tubes. So persistence becomes so incredibly important when it comes to achieving a big goal like this.
You're so right. And all that bleeds directly into finances. In fact, the same rule applies with just your finances. If you don't have your budgeting right, if you don't have your credit right, if you don't have your spending right, but really it all stems from whatever is generating that income. So it's just one long extension of that. I've never seen that or understood that more clearly.
And now that one's common. Everybody knows that hard work and persistence pay off and that you've got to have those in order to, on the list,
you mean? Yeah, you're right.
Those are on the list. Those are on the list. Okay, here are a couple that are not. Self-discipline and self-awareness.
Oh, wow.
So self-discipline, and of course, that's the big life book trait. That's the trait that more life bookers say they want to develop in their character than any other one. And it's the big daddy character trait that controls so many other ones. Self-discipline is just getting really clear on what you want and what you need to do to get it. And then getting yourself to take action, whether you want to or not. And that's super important. Self-awareness is related, but it's different in the fact that self-awareness is about understanding what you are and what you are not. So it's about understanding limitations. And Jordan, I've always said that one of the greatest strengths that you could ever have is knowing your weaknesses. That's been one of my greatest strengths since I was in my 20s. I am fully aware of what my strengths and weaknesses are. Therefore, I am able to mitigate my weaknesses by making sure that gap is filled by somebody or something. So if I'm going to start a project or business, some sort of a financial opportunity, I know that if I'm going to do this, I've got to find either a third-party vendor or an employee to handle the areas that I'm weak in so that I can go over here on these areas that I'm strong in and kick some ass. I know the difference in my life. A lot of people don't. And from what I've seen, self-made millionaires understand what they're really, really good at and where they need support and help.
Self-awareness. What a trait. What a specific and powerful trait. I love what you said about knowing your weaknesses. That it almost sounds like a Hannibal Barca quote or like a Patton quote. And it is very strategic like that, right? A lot of business and finance is a very strategic process, and you have to be aware. Otherwise, you're starting from a point of obscurity. I like that a lot, man.
Well, let me tell you something. I learned over probably a decade of failure what my weaknesses were. You know, I had a few big successes right out of the gate. And when you're young and full of piss and vinegar and have some big successes, you tend to think that you're a superhero who can accomplish anything until you get your ass kicked a couple times. I realized, you know, after a few hard, hard lessons, and I mean hard lessons, that I'm not a good operator. I'm not a good manager. I'm really good at getting things off the ground and getting things into existence. I'm good from 0 to 50. And then I've got to find somebody to, like, I'm no good with the status quo. And so I've got to have a team around me, you know, that fills out my weaknesses. Took me 10 years to learn what they were, but my God, has that been valuable ever since.
Wow. I like that a lot, man. Self-discipline and self-awareness.
Yes. All right. Here's the next one. And this one you see every once in a while. Millionaires tend to be frugal. They're less flashy with their money than people that have less money.
So true.
Literally. They don't have to keep up with the Joneses. they have a deep respect for money. They know what they're doing and what they want to achieve. And they're like, they're going to buy a car and keep it for 10 years, right? Not all of them, obviously. This is a big generalization, but they just tend to be frugal with their money. They worked hard for it. They don't want to throw it away. And they're not going to spend it on status symbols. I mean, this some so do. True. It doesn't apply to everybody.
I've really observed this lately, man. You see it all the time, especially on social media, where the people who buy the nicest things and show them off either can't afford them or that's how they got to their wealth. You know what I mean? Like they're an influencer. But the vast majority of actual, you use the term self-made millionaires, actual self-made millionaires, you are 100% right, man. They do not wear Rolexes and drive Teslas. In fact, there was a study on the average millionaire's car, and they drive some, you know, X amount of years old car on average, because as you said, on average, they are also frugal with their money.
And I think that it depends on how you make your money. Like if money comes to you fast and early, that's probably different than if it comes to you slower and later.
I was just going to bring up poker players, man. Poker players always spend their money like crazy. Rap album, totally.
Exactly.
It's too funny.
Then you got to learn a whole bunch of different lessons. But yeah, you're right about that.
When you grind that dollar though at a business, yeah, I see that difference.
Here's the next one. Most of the millionaires that I have known in my life avoid debt. Now, there's really two camps, and I'd say that probably this is about 90-10 split. That's just my guess with the hundreds of financially successful people that I've known in my lifetime. I'd say 10% of them made their money by understanding how to use debt and using it wisely. But 90% avoid debt. They especially debt like credit card debt and car payments. They got no time for that. They're trying to accumulate wealth.
Right.
They can't be wasting money, right? Paying interest for shit that they don't need. They're focused. They're driven.
Right.
Right. So like Purity Coffee, Andrew and I bootstrapped that company. We didn't borrow a dime from anybody.
God, that's crazy.
I've never done that. I've never funded any of my businesses with other people's money. Some people really know how to do that. I've never been comfortable with it. And I'm glad that I took that path personally.
Well, it's usually you're trying to create some sort of value. You're right. Some people are like financial whizzes and they can leverage that sort of stuff. But you're an entrepreneur and you don't want to get starry-eyed with someone else's money. I like that advice to bootstrap it as much as you can.
Yep, for sure. Okay, a couple more here. Almost all of the self-made millionaires that I've known in my life are lifelong learners. Like they read or study they're personal development people, bottom line. They might be reading and studying about their specific industry. Most of them, I would say, are more general than that. They're just out to develop themselves in any way that they can. But I'd say that the vast majority of millionaires that I have known have made a commitment to never stop learning and growing and improving. Like that would be more than 9 out of 10, as far as I'm concerned.
Can I try to label that as something that you may, maybe the listener isn't thinking of it this way? Curiosity is what that is.
Interesting.
I just heard one of my favorite podcasters phrasing, you got to have that curiosity. Like you said, it's not always about their industry. It's just about something. They've always got something they're learning about. Well, what drives that? I think that might be curiosity.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Is that character trait the reason they're successful? Or does success sort of
make you curious?
Yeah, exactly.
100%, man. That is a great question.
All right, here's the next one. And this one you don't see on any list, but I'd say this applies to well over half of the millionaires I know, maybe up to 80%. And it's that they prioritize their health. They understand how friggin' important their health is.
Right.
And most of them are athletes or really work out hard, or they take time out of their incredibly busy business and financial schedule to make sure they attend to their health and fitness so that they've got the right level of energy and the right level of clear thinking, et cetera.
That's a good point. Way, way more physically active on average, I would say.
I would say so too. So that's like nine things that I thought of. So I'm just going to repeat these again real quick. And Lifebookers, ask yourself if you have these traits, because I think you probably have got most of them. Are you a pessimist or an optimist? I would say that we don't have a whole lot of pessimists in the Lifebook community, right? Do you love what you do? I hope so. And for God's sake, if you don't, I hope that you end up finding something that you love, because odds are you're going to be a whole lot more successful doing that. Hmm. Are you a hard worker? Are you persistent?
Have got through life book. Attitude?
Yeah. That's a lot of work. Are you? Do you have self-discipline? I mean, we're all working on that, right? We all could use more of that, but I think life bookers in general have more than most people.
Yes.
And same with self-awareness. I mean, this community is a whole lot more self-aware than the average person that you would tend to meet on the street. Mm-hmm. Are you frugal, or do you use money for status symbols? Are you always learning? Is your health and fitness important to you, and do you put time and effort into that? And do you try to stay away from debt? those are 8 or 9 character traits that I've seen over my career that I think most financially successful people have.
I absolutely love it, man. And again, looking at these, seeing which ones you need to instill more deeply, which ones you need to pat yourself on the back for doing very well, you know, in that regard, just more of this self-awareness.
Yeah, you know what I love about this list? Truthfully, almost none of these things have anything to do with financial. If you're an optimist versus a pessimist, you just have a better life. If you love what you do versus you hate what you do, you just have a better life. If you're self-disciplined, self-aware, frugal, always learning, you care about your health. These are just great things to do as a human being, separate from how much money you're making.
Well, that's the whole life book principle, right? A win in any category is a win everywhere. And that's also why I liked this specific episode where we examined one piece of category connectivity very closely. Maybe this is a future episode format that we could get into, looking at the link between X and X category. Because, I mean, geez, it is so infinite. And each one is worthy of its own episode or episode series.
You're so right, Jordan. And you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier this week. And it's also completely unique to Lifebook. Lifebookers, Jordan and I are thinking about next year, the monthly podcast that we're doing, focusing on category interconnectivity the entire year. So for health and fitness, our conversation might not be about health and fitness. It might be about the category that most supports your health and fitness and the relationship between those two. That could be a really interesting exploration.
It's exactly what we did here today. And I think it opens up a bunch of new avenues.
Yeah, we looked at how character traits can affect. I want to say one more thing. And when Miss and I were on Necker Island with Richard Branson, he mentioned this to us. And I also know that this was Steve Jobs' number one. This is worth throwing in.
Oh, please, yeah.
So Richard Branson and Steve Jobs, in my opinion, were opposite ends of the spectrum. What I mean by that is Steve Jobs put his entire career into one company and he built the most valuable company in the world. Mm. Twice, actually. He lost it and then he came back and rebuilt it. He was a product guy and he was all about focusing on one business and making it the greatest that it could be. Richard Branson is the opposite. He's got like 300 businesses, the Virgin brand. And so he's all about synergies, whereas Steve Jobs is monolithic. He's focusing on one thing. Richard Branson is focusing on a family of companies and what they can do together. But they both had the same sort of philosophy when it came to their team. So here's what Richard Branson told us when we were with him in 2009. He said, anytime, it doesn't matter how great the idea is for the business, for the product, as soon as I've got the idea and I'm committed to the idea, the very first thing that I do is I find the guy or the gal who's going to run that company. I give them equity and put it in their hands. If I cannot find the guy or the gal that is going to drive this, then I don't do it.
Wow.
No matter how good the idea is, it comes down to people. And Steve Jobs said the same thing. The Steve Jobs quote is, I used to think that my team was the most important thing. Now I know that my team is the only thing.
Wow.
And Jordan, I can tell you that from personal experience. Is that when I have really, really struggled in business as an entrepreneur, it's because I didn't have the right team in place. When things have exploded, it's because of the people that I'm working with. Steve Jobs is right. Your team is the only thing when you're trying to get an idea into reality. So I just wanted to mention that the people that you surround yourself with is, I think, a huge component of financial success.
Relationships, man. I mean, that is it maybe all boils down to the most important thing in every category ends up with your position in that category, and then relationally.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, opportunities come in the form of people. I'm not sure where I heard that quote, but that's a quote that Missy and I have been saying to each other for a long time. So it's not just all about, you know, you rolling up your sleeves and hard work and persistence and self-awareness and self-discipline. You've got to be the right person for wealth to manifest through, but it's also about the people you surround yourself with, for sure.
Cultivating those relationships. I love that, man. This is a good, really great exploration. Right. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add here?
Well, you know, Jordan, this category, like I said in the opening, is just so incredibly important to me. I want for Life Bookers to get 10 times more value than what they pay to be members of Life Book in the financial month alone. So, I mean, this is a category that I want to bless each and every Life Book member and just bless you with best wishes for you to be able to manifest as much abundance as possible so that you can express yourself at the highest level and live the life of your dreams. Finance is a part of it. It doesn't have to be everything. You can have an amazing life without being, you know, financially wealthy, but it does help. It really does. And I know that, well, if you take a look at the assessment, the aggregate assessment data that we've had from hundreds of thousands of people taking the Lifebook assessment, the number one category that people say they most need to improve is their financial life. 26% of people who take that assessment choose that category out of 12 categories. So that's one out of four, more than one out of four. So I know that this is a need out there. And here at Lifebook, we know how important this category is to you. And we are here to support you. We're all supporting each other. We're knowledge sharing. We're sharing best practices. This is a category that we want to see everyone succeed in.
Love it. Absolutely love it, man. Well, thank you for doing this awesome exploration today. Not like any we've done before, and we might be doing more like these in the future.
I love it. It's been great to spend this time with you, Jordan.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Lifebook members. Stay tuned for more wisdom each and every single month. This is Jordan River Butcher and John Butcher signing off, saying, have an extraordinary day out there, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.